So what is this intersection of Marx and Alice? Some may argue that it lies in the domain of alienation, a concept much discussed among Marxists. In this space, we call that place of intersection obedience and believe there's an important difference. One is the effect of a system. The other, of the power guy's conscious intention, planning, and inculcation in us. One acknowledges that the global state statesmen plan, organize tirelessly to get the world they want. The other doesn't. One, alienation, separates us. It's an intellectual concept. The other, obedience, ties us together. Because we, all of us, are trained to so be. And there is also an intersection in the abandonment of children, whether to work or imbued in poison relations. Either way, we alienate them. There have been only two world revolutions. One took place in 1848. The second took place in 1968, said our good three. Both, and I'm still quoting them, were historic failures. Both transformed the world. The fact that both were unplanned and therefore in a profound sense spontaneous explains both facts, the fact that they failed and the fact that they transformed the world. Unquote. As our global transformation must be planned to escape the trap of trained agents, how we escape that trap by means of careful planning is what we've been focusing on in our shows that address the need for self-soul sufficiency, individually and within our core selves, our open tribes, our groups. Power's hidden planning has been its chief advantage, although I realize that I've said a lot of things have been its chief advantage. I'm going to assume that they are just all facets of this, of one thing. So keep that in mind as you hear me say, identify yet another chief advantage. Power's hidden planning has been its chief advantage. It knows what's going on while we don't. What we'll be considering is the degree to which the fact that power hides when not located centrally in our theory of how we transition to freedom distorts our analysis. Considering Marx as our chief example, the key example of this, arguing that what Marx concludes is skewed in a direction helpful to power, but not to us, we who long for our freedom. Marx sees the result, we the people at each other's throats these past 200 years or so, but not the plan to make us so. It was newly minted then, after all, its goal, range, and geographic scope. How in the world could he possibly see that as it was unfolding, but it was, he was like, literally in the thick of it, as we read the 18th Brumaire. How could he see the ambition of its hidden actors? He sees the tool, the money lever, and mistakes it for the end. And without that end of power kept clearly in view, an end for which he in some ways represented, and we've been discussing, I posted some excerpts from previous shows on this issue, which I hope you got a chance to listen to. And we definitely have a debt to Karl Popper, who did the serious work of exposing this, which is why he's been suppressed. His explanation, and again, that excerpt is posted with this show. His explanation about the dualism in Marx and the implications of that are key, is key. His focus, Marx's focus, without that end kept in view, as well as the resulting analysis, unintentionally misleads us. And then, while he sees the inevitability of a voracious machine, powers unleashed greed upon us and the earth, once generalized insecurity supplants our mutual aid practices, our empathic connectedness. Butting up against physical limits, and therefore the resulting immiseration of all of us. What our good three and Claudia von Verhoeven termed the pauperization of people on a world scale, calling our attention to what it means for we the people to be stripped of dignity, a process von Verhoeven thinks of as housewification. He misses entirely the key aspect from which to view our dilemma of how to get free, that which must be overcome in order to feel certain that we are done with the system. And so a critical strategic focus, i.e. our conditioned helplessness, and so our obedience. And how to make us so obedient, keep us so, if not by taking the advice of Townsend and Bentham, to make us hunger. And this tactic is also mirrored in the poisonous pedagogy Alice exposes. In our August 16, 2015 show, Alice describes the deep feelings of insecurity that one of her patients was left with after a childhood of making him hunger. How ensure that we cannot feed ourselves? By controlling access to land, to food. The plan is so obvious, so basic. If it wasn't for power's strategy of keeping hidden, of wringing the last drop of wealth from the planet and us, and so controlling what gets funded, what thoughts get heard, what acts get done, and then pushing forward an alternative explanation, i.e. science, in left, right, and so-called value-free variations, all the disciplines that train us in objectification and utilitarian ethics, and mistrust of what our bodies tell us. Further, recall, last week we said that the chief difficulty we face is not an overwhelming resources disproportion vis-a-vis the rulers, but an overwhelming certainty disproportion. Today we'll be considering more deeply that certainty disproportion.